Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 2, Prayers by the Demigods, text number 9. Ataham Amsha Bhagena Devakya Putratam Shube Prapsyami Tvam Yashodayam Nandapatyam Bhavishyasi. Ataham amsha bhagena Devakya putratam shube Prapsyami tvam yashodayam Nandapatyam bhavishyasi. Ataham amsha bhagena Devakya putratam shube Prapsyami tvam yashodayam Nandapatyam bhavishyasi. Ataham amsha bhagena Devakya putratam shube Prapsyami tvam yashodayam Nandapatyam bhavishyasi. Ataham shabhagena Devakya putratam shube Ataham shabhagena Devakya putratam shube Prapsyami tvam yashodayam. Mutters. Ataham shabhagena Therefore, aham, I, amsa bhagena, by my plenary expansions, devakya, of Devaki, putratam, the sun, shubhe, of all, oh, all auspicious, yogamaya, yogamaya. Prapsyami, I shall become. Tvam, you. Yashodayam, in the womb of Mother Yashoda. Nandapatyam, in the wife of Maharaj Nanda. Bhavisi shall also appear. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. O all auspicious Yogamaya, I shall then appear with my full six opulences as a son of Devaki, and you will appear as the daughter of Mother Yashoda, the queen of Maharaj Nanda. Purport. The word Amsa Bhagina is important in this verse. In Bhagavad Gita 10:42, the Lord says, Atava bahunaitena kim gyatena tavarjuna vishta byaham idam krishtam ekamsena stito jagat. But what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. Everything is situated as a part of the Supreme Lord's potency. In regard to Lord Krishna's appearance in the womb of Devaki, Brahma played a part also, because on the bank of the milk ocean, he requested the Supreme Personality of Godhead to appear. A part was also played by Baladev, the first expansion of Godhead. Similarly, Yogamaya, who appeared as a daughter of Mother Yashoda, also played a part. Thus, Jiva Tattva, Vishnu Tattva, and Shakti Tattva are all integrated with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when Krishna appears, he appears with all his integrated parts. As explained in previous verses, Yogamaya was requested to attract Shankarshan, Baladev, from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini, and this was a very heavy task for her. Yogamaya naturally could not see how it was possible for her to attract Shankarshan. Therefore, Krishna addressed her as Shubhe, auspicious, and said, "Be blessed, take power from me, and you will be able to do it." By the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, anyone can do anything, for the Lord is present in everything. All things being his parts and parcels, Amsa Bhagena, and increasing or decreasing by his supreme will. Balaram was only 15 days older than Krishna. By the blessings of Krishna, Yogamaya became the daughter of Mother Yashoda. But by the supreme will, she was not able to enjoy the parental love of her father and mother. Krishna, however, although not actually born from the womb of Mother Yashoda, enjoyed the parental love of Mother Yashoda and Nanda. By the blessings of Krishna, Yogamaya was able to achieve the reputation of being the daughter of Mother Yashoda, who also became famous by the blessings of Krishna. Yashoda means one who gives fame. End of purport. Om Gyanati Mandasya Gyananjana Shalankaya Chakshur Maitami Yenakasmai Shri Guru Vedamaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shumati Shula Virbhav Prabhuti Namine Shri Shri Rindata Vivyura Padapat Pankajadayane Prabhupada Anupadaya Namah Shri Vibhavave. Hare Krishna. So, there was some kind of a mix-up with class schedule, and some or the other I ended up here. So, schedule. So, some time ago, previous to this pastime of Krishna's appearance, there were two devotees, very peaceful, simple brahmanas, Brahman and his wife. They were extremely pious, and thus their fame had spread throughout the land. So this became known, and thus there was a planned visit to these devoted couple by three persons, a man, his wife, and a little boy. So when they came as a guest at the home of this Brahman and his wife, as they were cultured, they decided to go and prepare a nice meal for them and feed them sumptuously and host them according to etiquette. So, as much as the wife was devoted and chaste, so much beautiful she was. She was extremely beautiful. Young, beautiful body. So, she went to the marketplace to get some boga for the preparation to host her guest. And there she was met with one lusty guy. And for her to get her items, you know, she had to satisfy him somehow or the other. So he was very lusty over her, and he wanted to enjoy her. So she said, okay, if you want to enjoy me, I'll give you one of my breasts. So she cut off one of her breasts and gave it to this merchant. And she purchased her items and whatever business she had there and came back. So when she came back, she tried to hide her pains and the bleeding by covering, you know, her breasts with her sari. But it actually showed through. So then her guest inquired from her, what's the matter, what's the problem? So finally she told him, you know, what the situation was. So then these guests, they were very satisfied with this devoted couple, and they revealed her themselves who they were. So that happened to be Lord Shiva and his wife Parvati, and a little boy was Krishna. So then Krishna says, because you have made such sacrifices for us, that I'm going to appear as your child. So on the other hand, these Brahmana couple, these devotees, they were always praying that Krishna would appear. Krishna would take birth as their child. So Krishna fulfilled that desire here, as those couple became Vasudeva and Devaki. And but what they prayed for Krishna to appear as their child. They never prayed to have Krishna grow up with them. So in this pastime, Krishna fulfilled that desire that he appeared as their child. But there's other pastimes as to what Mother Yashoda and Nanda and how they came to enjoy Krishna's childhood pastimes. So anyway, so the Lord fulfills everyone's desires, even his devotees. And here, he seems to have taken on an American role of being very, very specific. If you, in America, if you ask for something or you make a statement, they analyze every word and syllable that you pronounce, and the address is just the same. That's like with all the business transaction and credit cards and so forth. There's so much fine prints and everything is just so. And you only figure that out when you get yourself in some trouble, like the insurance, for example. Then they would tell you, well, this is what you signed in the insurance. You signed for this and not this. You signed for theft and not vandalism. And there's so much different kind of fine prints. So similarly, Krishna satisfied Devaki's and Vasudev's desire. You asked to have me, to let me take birth from you. So like that. So anyway, that's just to give a little background on the appearance and the position of Vasudeva and Devaki. So here in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is explaining how the Lord personally arranges his paraphernalia, his entourage, and makes all his arrangements with his intimate devotees. So if we look at the managerial structure of the universe, or even with the local government or that of a country, you'd find that there are so many ministers, there are so many administrative heads, there are so many persons to make all different kind of arrangements. So the Lord also has similar things, like he has all the demigods, and there are so many personalities who arrange for everything in the material world, or all his activities. But when it comes to the devotees, just like the president, he would have so many ministers for every aspect of the management of the country. But when it comes to his intimate associates, his family, his wife and kids, there are no agents for that, there are no ministers for that. He does that all himself. So similarly, the Lord and his devotees are like that. They are no agents. The Lord does it himself. So actually one time there was a story of a king. This Maharaj, he was going out on a tour, and he has, as usual, he has all his entourage. Big great king, very opulently dressed on his horse and his sword and all his expensive jewelry. You can see in Vedic times how they were dressing very opulently. Like if you look on the photographs on the wall, the pictures, so much opulence. Actually, one time, one devotee, he's a long-term friend of mine, and he also deals a lot with gems and jewelry. So one day he came here and he went to look at that photograph behind under Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj there. And he called me over and he said, you know, he was calculating for the past 10 minutes that with all the jewelry that Krishna and his associates wore adds up to be about $1 million today. So that was the standard. So this king, he was very opulently dressed, and they were walking by and they had this lake, and he had all his ministers and soldiers and the whole nine yards with him. So somehow or the other, his little grandchild fell in the lake and was drowning. So the king, he didn't say, well, hey, minister or somebody, just go and get him. He immediately dove right into the water with all his crown and all his jewelry and everything, and he picked him up and saved his child. So Krishna is like that. He don't take agents to take care of his devotees. He makes all his personal arrangements himself. So similarly here, Krishna was giving personal instruction to Yogamaya. He didn't send it through an agent. He was giving personal instructions and tell her what to do and what to do, and even giving her the power. So Krishna explains, even though it was very difficult for her to transfer Shankarshan from the womb of Devaki to Mother Rohini and perform all these tasks, it's generally very difficult. But when the Lord wills, he requests someone to perform, he also empowers. So Srila Prabhupada cited here, even with Arjuna. So when I read this purport, one of the first thing and the first verse that came to my mind is one from the first canto. Oh. Arjuna vacha, vanchitoham maharaja, harina bandurupina, yena me paritam tejo, devo vishwapanam mahat. And I'll read a translation in purport. Oh. O King, the Supreme Personality of God at Hari, who treated me exactly like an intimate friend, has left me alone. Thus my astounding powers, which astonished even the demigods, are no longer with me. And it's a very nice purport, which expands on Srila Prabhupada's purport here. So explains this point more vividly as to how the Lord empowers his devotee. So purport, in the Bhagavad Gita, and actually I'm not sure exactly what version of the Vedabase I got this from, but some of the English is a little strange. So in the Bhagavad Gita 10:41, the Lord says, anyone specifically powerful and opulent by wealth, strength, beauty, knowledge, and all that is materially desirable is to be considered as a product of an insignificant portion of the complete whole, that's Lord Krishna, of my energy. No one, therefore, can be independently powerful of any measure without being endowed by the Lord. When the Lord descends on the earth, along with his eternal, ever-liberated associates, he does not only display the divine energy possessed by himself, but also he empowers his associate devotees with the required energy for executing his mission of incarnation. This fact is also stated in the Bhagavad Gita, 4th chapter, that the Lord and his eternal associates descend on the earth more than many times, but the Lord remembers all such different roles of incarnations, while the associates, by his supreme will, forget them. Similarly, the Lord takes away with him all his associates when he disappears from the earth. The power and energy which was bestowed upon Arjuna were required for fulfillment of the mission of the Lord. But when his mission was fulfilled, the emergency powers were withdrawn from Arjuna, because such astounding powers of Arjuna, which were astonishing even to the denizens of the heaven, were no longer required. And they were not meant for going back to home, back to Godhead. If endowment of powers and withdrawal of powers by the Lord are possible even for a great devotee like Arjuna, or even the demigods in heaven, then what to speak of the ordinary living beings who are compared to the fig with such great souls? The lesson is, therefore, that nobody should be puffed up by his borrowed powers from the Lord, and the same man should rather feel obliged to the Lord for such benefaction, and must utilize such power for the service of the Lord. Such power can be withdrawn at any time by the Lord, and the best use of such power and opulence is to engage them in the service of the Lord. So, what happened here is that after the Battle of Kurukshetra, which most of you have known the circumstances here, but for those who don't, so after the Battle of Kurukshetra, the Pandavas were reestablished in their throne in Hastinapur. All the burden of the earth was taken care of. All the problems were finished. So Krishna went back to his capital, Dwarka. So after some time, Arjuna decided that he would go and visit his friend Krishna. So when Arjuna went, he spent a long time. In the meanwhile, in those days, there weren't internet connection and the phones and all of that. So there weren't so much communication. So Maharaj Yudhisthira starting to wonder. Arjuna left for 7 months. He didn't return. In the meanwhile, there were all inauspicious symptoms that were manifesting. Like the jackals would walk on the left side of Maharaj Yudhisthira, and that's a sign of very inauspiciousness. And his left eye would be twitching. Not sure if you have those symptoms here, like in the Caribbean or in India. For a male, when his right eye twitches, is something auspicious. The left eye is inauspicious, and for the female, is the opposite. Sometimes it becomes a little mixed up with, like, myself, for example. Yeah, and my left eye twitches is more a good sign. My right eye is a bad. So anyway, all these symptoms were there. So, and Maharaj Yudhisthira became very worried. So after 7 months, then Arjuna returned to the capital. So what happened when he went there, he found that Lord Krishna had left the planet. And he decided, well, he's going to protect all the ladies, all his Krishna's wives, that he would bring them back to Dwarka, to Hastinapur with him. So it was the same Arjuna who was very powerful, and he fought the great battle of Kurukshetra, was endowed with so much powers. At one time he even fought the demigods, 60,000 demigods from the heavenly planets, and he defeated them all single-handedly. So powerful was he. Arjuna was so powerful that he was offered a half-elevated seat in his father's kingdom, Indra. It's Krishna, Arjuna is actually Indra's son. So Arjuna was able to go with his very same body to the heavenly planets, and he was offered a half-elevated seat next to his father in the heavenly planets. So much power and opulence Arjuna had. So the same Arjuna with the same Gandiva bow, which defeated great personalities like Bhishma and Drona and the whole, we all know all of them that he defeated. The very same powerful Arjuna who had limitless energy, that he was fighting, when he was fighting, his energy would never be exhausted. His Gandiva would never be exhausted. His quiver of arrows, they were limitless. So the same Arjuna, when he was trying to protect all these ladies, just a few dacoits, came and they attacked him, the very same Gandiva Bo, the very same powerful Arjuna, the very same person of name and fame. He wasn't even able to defend himself against these few people, these few men. So he became very, very dejected. And when he came back after 7 months to the kingdom of Hastinapur, he was all disheveled, all his powers were withdrawn, and his whole life was completely different. His whole demeanor was not the same. So Maharaj Yudhisthira was inquiring from him as to the cause of such dejection. So he was bringing up all different reasons other than accepting the fact that the Lord has actually departed from this world. So then Arjuna revealed, and then Arjuna finally spoke with a choked voice. He spoke this verse. It's a very, very nice chapter, actually. The Pandavas retired timely. Probably one of the sweetest chapters in the first canto of the intimate relationship with the Lord and his devotees. So, like that, Srila Prabhupada is explaining here that whenever he brings his devotees to perform his lila, he empowers them accordingly. And when those powers are no longer necessary, he withdraws them. So that's our position as devotees. And we should understand our position as to always being a humble servant of the Lord. That whether these powers and opulence and whatever we have, whether they are here with us or not, we should understand that they're all borrowed and it's all lent to us by the Lord for our performance of some duty here in the material world, whether it's material opulence or spiritual opulence. Everything is given to us by the will of the Lord and to be used for a certain purpose. And therefore, we should not be proud of whatever we have achieved in this world, whether material or spiritual. So this is the knowledge that a devotee should be working by. As any time we show symptoms of pride, by the Lord's will, he can take it away at any time. Later on in the 10th canto, we would find the pastimes of Radharani, even when she became proud that Krishna was there with her. Krishna withdrew himself from her presence. He disappeared from there. So even persons like Radharani and persons like Arjuna can face these situations, then what to speak of us? What is our position? So these are the knowledge by which a devotee works or should be working under. So when pride comes, it's a very dangerous situation. Kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya. Mada is madness, or sometimes Prabhupada described, also explained that as pride, lust, anger, greed, delusion, pride or madness, and envy. So when this pride comes, or madness, it becomes one of the most dangerous situations in the lives of the devotee. So we should all understand that whenever we are giving opportunity to serve within Lord Chaitanya's mission, that with all Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj stated, he said everything in this material world is readily available. The only thing that we have to strive for is Krishna consciousness, spiritual life. So as we strive for that, then we achieve. Materially, karma is there. Whatever is assigned to us, we would get whether we strive for it or not. That would come. And when it's time for it to go, it would go. So, but spiritually, we have to strive. But even spiritually, even in Krishna consciousness, by the will of the Lord, then that comes. And if we don't take care of it properly, it can go also. So this is the razor's edge by which a devotee works. It's the best option we have to surrender to the will of the Lord, to surrender in Krishna consciousness, and allow ourselves to be empowered to different degrees and to be used in the service of Krishna. So just like on a higher level here, Yoga Maya is being used and empowered by the Lord, on different levels, every devotee, as we surrender, as we open ourselves, every devotee, we actually become empowered to different degrees to perform. Actually, every year, Vyas Pooja, and I don't mean to point this to anyone or so, but just at the back of my mind, I hope it's not an offensive thought, every year Prabhupada's Vyas Pooja, you know, we would hear all these wonderful offerings, and everyone, so this year I was thinking like every devotee, almost every devotee they pray, "Oh Srila Prabhupada, please give me your blessings, please give me your mercy." But on several occasions, and there was one particular occasion, I think that was somewhere in California, Srila Prabhupada was walking outside the temple, and I believe it was Vishnujan Swami. He was keeping this wonderful kirtan in the temple room. So one devotee turned to Prabhupada, said, "Oh Srila Prabhupada, just see how much mercy you have given to Vishnujan Swami." So Prabhupada turned to him, he said, "My mercy and blessing is there with everyone, but he took it." So that's our position, that the mercy and blessing is there, but we have to take it. And we have to, to take that mercy means that we have to act in a certain way. So like Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj also says that don't try to see Krishna, but act in such a way that Krishna would see you. Just like the story I cited with the previous lives of Vasudeva and Devaki. They acted in such a way that Krishna came and saw them. So this is our position, to be as much as possible to act in a humble mood and to prepare our lives, prepare our atmosphere in such a way that Krishna can feel free to make arrangements. Actually, one time, I'll close with this. It's many years ago, on my godbrother, he, you know, passed away. In Guyana, I was at the far temple, and they were up on the other side. So two of my godbrothers were there. One was managing the temple, and the other one was the lead Sankirtan devotee, Omkar. So the situation there was pretty strenuous in those days, and Radhakun, she was a Gurukul student in there, and she was used to do Sankirtan there. The temple president would give us maybe like $1.50. That's our bus fare to go out on Sankirtan. So you got to figure the rest to come back and make sure you get Sankirtan done. And plus you'd give us a list of what and what he needs. Boga, this, that, deity, blah, blah, blah. So now you got to figure out to go do Sankirtan, get that Lashmi, do all those purchases.
Make your computer cancel.
So anyway, my godbrother, he used to go out because of the financial strain on the temple. He used to go out after Mangalarti, he would go out on Sankirtan. So, and he was sickly. So one evening he came back at about 7:30 or 8, and in those days that was pretty dark. So when he came back, my other godbrother came to him, he said, "You know what, I need something from the store. Just please go and get it." So the temple, if anyone knows about Panihati Temple, it was a mile in on a dirt road. Not dirt, but really thick mud. Sometimes you have 15, 18 inches of mud you have to paddle through to get to the road where you can walk or ride a bicycle or something. So sometimes it's pretty rough. So then my godbrother Omkar, he got pretty upset. He said, "Wait, don't you have any consideration? I left the temple since after Mangalarti going out on Sankirtan. Now it's 7:30 at night. I just came back without even taking prasadam, anything, and then you're going to ask me to go out and do something again." So then the temple president turned, you know, look at him and walk up to him and said, "You look around this room or look around this temple And if you were in my position, who would you have asked to do this favor? So he looked around and he said, Vidura, you're right. So what happened, because he was always willing to serve and he was ready to serve at any time, that the temple president felt comfortable or felt very easy to ask him a favor, to ask him to do something. So the point here is that in Krishna consciousness, if we place ourselves to that disposal to act in such a way, then the devotees feel very comfortable, or the Lord feel very comfortable to engage us. Sometimes it might appear as though we are being engaged more than other devotees. But if we place ourselves at the disposal, then Krishna engages us, or engage others to engage us accordingly. We have the example of Jayananda also. I always seem to like to quote him. When the Sunday feast would be going on, and all the partying and so forth would be going on, nice Sunday feast, Jayananda would be out working on the truck and the bus. So at 11 o'clock at night, he would make sure the truck is fixed so he can take all the guests back home. So then someone said, oh, you know what, we forgot about Jayananda, we didn't leave prasadam for him. So then another devotee ran to Jayananda and said, you know what, all of us, you know, we're so tired, and so there's no one to do the dishes, can you go and do the pots in the kitchen? And in those days, doing the pots in the kitchen is not like what you have now. It was really rough. So Jayananda, he didn't complain, he said, okay. So he went, and 11 at night with no prasadam, no one remembered him, but he was doing the dishes. So, like that, because he placed himself at the disposal to be engaged, then whenever service opportunity comes, he didn't refuse. So our position in Krishna consciousness is like that. We act in certain way so others feel comfortable to help us in our devotional service. And sometimes that may appear to be like an abuse, or may appear to be, what's the other word that Srila Prabhupada used? Use another word in that regard, the abuse, but anyway, I don't remember at this point. So this is our position in Krishna consciousness. So it's getting late. I would like to stop here. If there are any questions or comments, I can take them. Sri Vikram Prabhu.
We don't know what they mean, you know, but usually it's like animals and birds and so passing from the left to right is auspicious. Crossing from the right to the left is auspicious. Like left eye twitching inauspicious, right eye twitching auspicious. You know, so, but of course for devotees it might be a little different really, depends on the degree we've surrendered. But you're there all in nature. The other nice point you made, and I really like, is that the Lord empowers us in different ways, and He also gives us different facilities. Some of us might be very wealthy, very strong, very beautiful, whatever, you know, and all His talent can be used properly in His service, because eventually they would all be taken away. For example, if some of us has wealth, we can use it for the service of the Lord, helping the devotees, so many ways. You know, if we have something else, we can also do the same. And in that way, you know, we can use these facilities nicely for the service of the Lord and helping the devotees also.
Yeah, that's that should be your position. And also, it's like you're talking about these different symptoms. You know, like in the Vedic scriptures, and not only that, but all different cultures around, there are so many different things Like, if you get into that, then your whole life just get caught in that field. I know my dad, he had so many rules and regulations that he lived by. And actually, most of these stories that Srila Prabhupada told, these little anecdotes my dad told me when I was a little boy. Like, you know, he would always put his right shoe on first. He would put his right foot out the door. He would come back. He would always get up at a certain time, regardless of what, how tired or not he is. At a certain time, he gets up. At a certain time, he goes to bed. On a certain time, he would read Ramayana. And all these different regulations. And he had so many different things that he lived by. He can tell you when it's going to rain, by how much pains he's feeling in his body, and what level the rain is going to be, and if any disaster is going to happen in our home, by if any he saw any rats or the size of the rat or which direction, and a whole bunch of different things, which if you get into all of that, then our life can really be caught. But basically, only a devotee can cut across the law of karma by engaging in devotional service. Prabhupada says that when our karma shows up by all these lines and all these different functions in our palms, but when one chants and claps, chanting Hare Krishna and claps, that removes our karma, and thus the lines in the palms of our hands changes. Srila Prabhupada mentioned like that. Thank you so much. Madam Mohan Prabhu, you had a question? Oh, okay. So, anyway, anything else? So I guess we'll stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.